This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. This is your host, Tim Link, and I'm so glad you're joining us today. Got a super exciting and interesting journey that we're going to be taking today. We're going to be talking to author and internationally acclaimed medium speaker, Mickey Jacobs. And we're going to talk to Mickey about her latest book, Sacred Wild, Spiritual World of Animals, Including Pets, and its interconnectedness with ours. So I'm always excited to explore that, how we actually bond and connect with the animals, both in the wild and our domesticated animals. And then always the question about how do we understand and better deal with when we lose an animal and what happens in that sort of spiritual world afterwards. So we're going to take a little journey and pick the mind of one of the best out there, Mickey Jacobs, right after this commercial break. So you're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Joining me now is internationally acclaimed medium speaker and author Mickey Jacobs. Talk to us about her latest book, Sacred Wild, The Spiritual World of Animals, Including Pets, and its interconnectedness with ours. Mickey, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, team. And thank you for having me. It's great being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure having you on. I'm super excited about the show because I like delving into a little bit about things that maybe people aren't aware of and things maybe they're aware of from a spiritual aspect, but sometimes don't mention it or don't say it in public spaces. And we talk about things about the journey in life with our animals and then the afterlife as well. And that seems to be what you cover a lot of in great aspect and in great fashion in your book, Sacred Wild.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the book and sort of what the readers can expect.
Right. So really the main theme of the book is a few main important subjects, but it was very important for me to express to people how broadened animals are to our lives, pets, animals to the planet, how equal they are to us due to them having, like us, human being, a soul or a spark or a fragment of the creator within their body in the same way we have in ours. And therefore, it's make us equal. So it's a very important kind of piece of information because unfortunately, I believe that a lot of people on planet Earth see animals, which including their pet, as secondary or below us, quote unquote. And when we are aware that indeed they have a soul, which is once again the energy of the creator within their body, although the soul in animals expresses its godlike essence through an animal form, it is nonetheless still very powerful in the same way we are. So it was very important for me to bring that forward, that people will look at their pet, will understand that since they have a soul in the body, they are able to do so much more than what we just think. They are pet and they're cute and they're helping us to feel better. They have a great amount of quite magical powers, different than ours, obviously, nonetheless equal. And since I love animals so very much from a very, very young age, we live here on 3 acres, my husband Clayton and myself, and we rescue animals. So currently we have 20 animals. We rescue horses and cats and dogs. And we have two tortoises. One is 200 pounds and we just rescued him about a year ago. So we have a lot of animals. So I always loved animals very much. I always knew how significant they are to our lives, how significant their mission is to our lives. So that is in the book, of course. And the book is kind of divided into two, where the first half is more spiritual aspect of their path or their purpose, their incarnation, their karma, their mission, their soul groups. And the second half of the book was more planet Earth information, as you mentioned, of course, how to overcome their grief after they leave, what's happened to their soul when they leave the body. I gave information about wild animals. So basically, I really, really hope that by picking up Sacred Wild, people would look at animals and their pet completely different, with way more respect, way more honor, and way more ways to cherish them, because they certainly deserve that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that aspect. You know, I always look for, not me personally, but I know clients of mine and friends and relatives, they look for that. What is that true connection? What is that soul? What is that essence? Because, you know, in society today, like you mentioned, oftentimes we obviously love our animals, especially our domesticated animals, but oftentimes they're sort of determined, or society labels them as secondary, as you mentioned, you know, that they are below man. Even some religious aspects, religious followings state that, yes, treat animals with respect and with love and with caring and grace, but they are secondary to man. I'm doing air quotes right now when I say that.
Right.
But I've always firmly believed that animals in our life and animals around us are here on equal ground. We're all energy, as I call it. I can call it a soul, an essence, a spark, however you want to label it. But we're all energy, and we select a body as a host to fulfill whatever purpose that we have while we're here. And we do our very best to fulfill that purpose. And then we go back into that source energy, that heavenly state, that universal space of love, or rainbow bridge, whatever it may, however you want to look at it. And I do think that animals are much more aware of themselves and their bodies and their purpose for being here than what we are.
Yes. You know, Tim, that's why my main focus, which why I chose the first chapter to emphasize on the soul within the body, because without believing that, then a view that they're so cherished and powerful and I able to understand so much more broader perspective would not stick. So that's why I brought up the soul, or as you said, can be called many other names, you know, God's light, or names doesn't matter, obviously. So yes, so I brought it up. So that is the main thing. A lot of people having a hard time believing in it. It could be childhood. It could be a religion belief. It could be there's a lot of people that follow the perspective that only human beings have soul and therefore we're superior. So therefore, that is why I started the book with the soul. Once you truly and authentically understand that they, like us, have God within their body, the creator, whatever other name we call that supreme being, powerful being, they are unbelievable, way more than we capable. For example, we can, like myself, I believe that to gain the ability to for mediumship is inherent within all human beings. I was 33 years old when I started teaching myself how to quiet the mind through meditation. Then I went slowly into energy healing and got into automatic writing and taught myself how to heal spirit. So if I did it at the age of 33, then anyone can do that. So they don't need that anymore. Because their soul kind of shine through their personality, which can be lead to a bigger topic that animals do not have ego. Of course, ego is not a word. It's an energy that resides within the physical body of human being, which is the obstacle. It's a producer negative influences and negative energy. So it's an obstacle for us to aligning ourselves with the energy of the soul. Animals don't have that. Animals do not have ego because they do not create negative energy through purposefully act negatively, meaning their reaction, their action, their behavior is come with nature, meaning they don't have the intention to act negatively. So the point is they, animals, are in a constant contact with their higher self, with their soul within the body, which allow them to see spirit, see departed pets, see us, read our energy when we're moody, when we're sick. That is why a lot of animals are able to know when people are dying, when we are not feeling well. So there's so many broadened things. So the point is that, Tim, although we can teach ourselves to communicate with spirits, it's inherent within them, and they use it for various ways to help us feel better. So this is just one example as to the unbelievable powers that animals have that is granted to them by the ability to align themselves within their soul, within the body. So therefore, in many ways, they are better than us, or certainly equally or more powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I love your way of thinking because it sounds like what I've been talking about for years. So
nice.
So it aligns and resonates with me on a very personal level as well. And I concur with everything you're saying within that. I do have to ask, when going, you mentioned that a little bit later in life, you sort of allowed yourself to expand your spirituality, connect with animals at a deeper level, learn the energy healing techniques, and allow your inner knowing to shine. Did you feel that when you were younger that you had that within you, and maybe perhaps it was suppressed through a society, family, religion, or was it more of a knowing that you just sort of loved the animals and it didn't appear to you until much later on that you could expand that a little bit further?
Sure. So I was completely clueless to spirituality, Tim. I was born and raised in a somewhat Orthodox Jewish home. My parents, elderly parents, are still in Israel now, very much follow the Judaism tradition. So I grew up in a house where I frankly was terrified of God. I always imagined him as a figure with a beard and a cane, kind of like Moses looking male, of course. So I was, it's a religion. And of course, with all due respect to listeners and their religious belief, there's a lot of rules that I believe that are being written or created by human beings. So, I was very much into the Judaism, which knew nothing, zero about spirituality. Then I joined the army, and I was 5 years in the Israeli army. I was a sergeant and I was a Uzi instructor. So to show you how far I was from spirituality. And then I came to the United States. And when I came here, there's other religion that I was exposed to. And I remember the main thing that kind of woke me up, that religion didn't quite make sense to him, is that Judaism believed that they are God's favorite people. And I was saying, okay, but what about the other religion? And if they say such an unconditional love, why would one religion be favored for him? So that kind of pushed me towards, frankly, spirituality. And that's where I start to gather information. That's where I start to meditate. And of course, as it's common in spirituality, the more you feed it energetically, the more you dive into it, the more it's spread and expand. And that's when, again, I did energy Reiki. I'm a Reiki master. I did energy healing to animals for 2 years. And then once I quiet the mind, which is, of course, the biggest obstacle to communicate with spirit, which include departed pets, once you're able to communicate with one light being, spirit guides, angel, of course, that's include animals. And it started from there. But no, I came from as far from spirituality as one possibly can come from.
I think it's important for people to know, and I knew a little bit about your background and from reading the book Sacred Wild, a little bit about your journey as well. But I wanted to really resonate that or put that out there to the listening audience, because I've talked about it many times. I've been working on as a animal communicator and consultant, and I'm also a Reiki master for animals. So I've been doing that for 20 years now. And I think that, you know, I've talked about it numerous times, how we're all born with sort of a gift or an ability or an intuition to be able to connect with everything around us. And by the time we're in our 5, 6, 7 years old, we go to school, we go to church, it sort of gets taught out of us, or it just isn't embraced in a lot of cases. And so we sort of divert ourselves away from that, and we follow our life. You know, we go to school, we join the military, we go to university, we get jobs, we get married, you know, have kids, all this wonderful stuff. But there is at some point when I think everyone steps back and says, there has to be more, there has to be a deeper connection. And I always applaud everyone, including yourself, to no matter what stage you are in life,
yes,
as far as age or just in general, that's the time, if you have questions, to investigate it, see what more is out there, allow yourself to open yourself up. And as you said, once you allow yourself to do that and you get into the quiet times, you relax the mind and relax the body.
Yes.
That's a guided meditation that we've recorded that's out there on an album of mine. And
nice.
So I'm a big believer of that. And then, doing a big believer guided meditation and the ability to quiet the mind and to connect with the animals at a deeper level.
Right.
And so I think it's important for people to realize that, it's okay. At some point you will have questions and thoughts and doubts, and you need to expand yourself. And you may come back to the point where a particular life, religion, whatever it may be, suits you, resonates with you. But I do believe that if you allow yourself to open yourself up a little bit more, you'll find out there's much more out there. And the animals tend to know it much better than we do.
Yes, very much so. Yes, very much so. They're very tuned in. They're just, delightful.
Yep. So learn from your animals. Live a dog's life. That's what I try to tell everybody.
The cats' lives are pretty good too.
Cats they have it even better. They just lay around and, they let you know what they want, and otherwise be gone. You're not needed. And a tortoise life is probably the best of all. You're going to live 100 years and you get fed all this wonderful food and nobody expects great things from you. You just
actually
relax.
For the defense of cats, for many years, Tim, I used to say I'm a dog person. I had dogs growing up. I had dogs, until I had the first cat. And now I'm the absolute ultimate crazy cat lady.
Well, I'm the guy who had a feral cat show up, and I decided to feed it and provide a heated bed and a covered area for it. And next thing I know, I have three of his females in the harem. And next thing I know, I've got 13 feral cats. And so I got them all trapped, neutered, and released. And they thought, well, you know what? We like this place. We're just going to stick around. So I'm sort of like you. Within about a 2-week period, I became a 13 cat.
Right. So I think we can agree on we probably need both.
Yes, we do. Yes. More animals, the more better. That's my theory.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and talk to author Mickey Jacobs a little bit more about her book, Sacred Wild. Everybody hang tight. You're listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Hi, this is Tim Link, animal communicator and pet expert, and host of Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have you ever wanted to know what your pet is really thinking? Do you want to find out if they truly understand what you're trying to tell them? Ever wish you could build a better understanding and closer relationship with your pet? Well, now you can. Learning to communicate with animals is a 4-part on-demand workshop. In the workshop, you'll learn the essential techniques that are necessary to communicate with animals, including what is animal communication, breathing correctly to achieve the perfect state to communicate with your animals at a deeper level, using guided meditation exercises and method to communicate with animals, and how to send and receive information from your animals. So if you're wanting to learn how to communicate and connect with your animals at a deeper level, visit petliferadio.com/workshop and purchase and download Learning to Communicate with Animals. You'll be glad you did.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Continue our conversation with Mickey Jacobs in her book, Sacred Wild, The Spiritual World of Animals, Including Pets, and Its Interconnectedness with Ours. Now, Mickey, we touched on briefly at the first half about the thought of what happens to our animals after they make their transition. Do they go to the infamous, wonderful Rainbow Bridge Did they go back to the same source that we do? Are we all from the same place? And will we see them again? And I think you did a great job in the book explaining a little bit about, you know, what the poem Rainbow Bridge is about and the thought pattern behind that and what does happen. So through your studies, through your intuition, through your connectiveness with the animals, what's your thoughts on that whole matter? Will we be back with our animals that have made their transition?
So at the time of death, all souls, of course, animals and human beings, exit the physical body from the crown chakra at the top of the head and transition into the spirit world or the dimension of the spirit world. Or, you know, again, there are many names to it. So all do that. So yes, so we very much exit the body, which is an important thing to adapt when we lose a pet. That was it's important to know again, to believe or to open to the concept of the soul. The soul in within the body, which is once again part of God, is immortal. It's multidimensional. There is no death. And when the physical body ceases to exist or die, then the soul exits the body and travels there. The lovely theme channeling that I got regarding the Rainbow Bridge is that it is an actual dimension within the spirit world, because the way I've been shown that the spirit world is divided into different dimension or different levels, and we kind of enter into, human being enter into the level that they belong to, quote unquote, in a way that where we are in our spiritual growth, animal enter into the dimension of animals, and even within the dimension of animals in the spirit world, it's divided into various soul groups. But specifically the dimension of the Rainbow Bridge, it is indeed a place where pets and us, meaning once our soul exit the body, we do meet. So I ask as to the nature of the actual poem. And the first person that came up with the poem actually was channeling. So they were tuning into that place. So it is indeed a real place, which why I also was teaching in the book that through deep meditation, we can train ourselves to, while here on planet Earth, to connect to a departed pet that is reside within the Rainbow Bridge, as it's called. So that was a really, really heartwarming channeling for me, one that I hold deep to my heart over the years when we lose animals. But that's basically what's happened. Also, a lot of people ask me if pets leave planet Earth, if they're alone, if there's anyone meeting them. There is absolutely a great amount of beautiful love by the Creator that love us all equally, of course. Remember, we are a part of Him, so it's not loving our finger. The finger is part of our body. So there is beautiful empathy as to the transitions of human being and animals. We tend to be met by what I refer to in my first book, our team, which are spirit guides. So they meet us once the soul exits the body, and sometimes they kind of help us, because sometimes some souls can get disoriented when we exit the physical body, depending on the manner of death or if the transition is difficult. So a spirit guide there to meet us, of course, departed loved one there to meet us. But the interesting, beautiful concept is that animals have their own team of spirits that appear right when the soul exit, ready to exit the body, and those are the nature spirits. So nature spirits are the one that accompany the soul into the spirit world. Specifically, Tim, when I wrote the heart-wrenching chapter about some of it about hunting or animals that are for food consumption and the way some farmers treat the animals. So it was very important for me to share, and the information that I gathered, that there is a lot of beings that accompany the animals through their suffering. There is no fear, there is no suffering. They help them to leave the physical body calmly and peacefully, and then go back home to God into the spirit world.
That's perfect. Yeah, I love that aspect of it because it's, once again, that's what I teach. That's what I resonate with as well. And I try to let people know that don't get bogged down by the terminologies. You mentioned like words like the, the spiritual world and channeling and spirit guides. Yeah. To you and I, that's common talk. We're yes. familiar with that. We've been on these journeys. So we understand that. And so, but don't get caught up in the terminology. Just like our animals, we are greeted by pure love, by those familiar energies that we knew, those heart connections that maybe they, the animals and ourselves didn't know in the physical world, but had a heart connection with another individual spirit, a guide that is familiar to us. Yes. So, you don't have to, if your dog never met Grandpa in the physical world, that's okay. Grandpa will still be there as part of one of the guides to take your animal through to the next, to the universal space of love.
I can resonate with that because specifically it was important to bring up in the book not to be focused on names. I even use the phrase, in the book, I call God a he. Obviously, that's not a he. So I'm glad you brought it up. Very important. Listen, spirituality have great simplicity. That's what's beautiful about it. Everything based on energy, everything based on love, everything based on inclusive and non-judgmental and kindness. So that was important. So thank you, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as talking to clients, as I'm sure you have over many, many years, they want to know that. And it gives them great comfort to know that their animals, as well as themselves, will be greeted on the other side and taken care of on the other side. But it doesn't necessarily mean that if you and I share the same grandmother, your vision of grandma compared to my vision of grandma may be totally different. But the energy of grandma is still the same. We know the love of grandma, so it will be the same. So like you said, don't get caught up on names. Don't get caught up on how grandma should look.
Right.
Connect more with the fact that it is the same love. It's the same energy. It's the same connection that you know and that your animals know as well. And also that heart connection if they've never met them, in the physical form.
Correct.
So, Mickey, when everybody picks up a copy of the book, Sacred Wild, The Spiritual World of Animals, Including Pets, and Its Interconnectedness with Ours, when you wrote the book and now that it's finished and it's out there, what do you hope people gain from it? Is there a one takeaway or is there a theme that you're hoping that once they read it, they go, yeah, I got it?
Yeah, so I try to deliver spirituality in the book because spirituality would cause the reader to feel closer to the pet, to understand that their mission is so much deeper. They help us to balance karma. They help us to feel well. They heal us. Their energy heal us. They're able to sense us and adjust themselves as to our mood, as to our well-being. So also the fact that, there is a soul within the body. They're not just being that walking around. I mean, they have greater and broader perspective. And again, the unbelievable, unbearable pain when we lose a pet. So I'm hoping that would be helpful as to once they realize there is a soul, once they realize the soul exit and go to the spirit world, meaning believing in the spirit world, believing in life after death, therefore, then that would help at the time of grief before, because eventually they will leave us and we'll all experience the grief over their loss. And also the fact that we also, once we die, we go to the same place and they will greet us back. So those are really the main thing that important. I also try to include Tim as to why people don't believe in the soul, why people don't believe they're equal to us. I wanted to emphasize that in order for people to perhaps recognize themselves in it and realize, I can see why I don't believe in that. Maybe it's the way I grew up, maybe my religion, maybe maybe just my own opinion. So I brought that into perspective so people kind of can recognize themselves and therefore change. But really the main thing is that there is no life without them. I mean, I'm hoping that people never were open to pet, will be open to pet by knowing how much benefit they give our life. And certainly I'm hoping that the reader will grow spiritually. That's why throughout the book, I compare animals to people. If I spoke about incarnation, I brought up animal and people. If I spoke about karma, I brought up both. So I really wanted to, I wanted the reader to be elevated, certainly first and foremost, since it's a book about animals, elevate their perspective about animals. But since they're reading a spiritual concepts anyway, then I'm hoping that the spiritual knowledge will be expanded as well.
Absolutely. Well, I think you did a wonderful job of that. I mean, the book definitely will help people along their own spiritual journey to answer those questions. And then you tie that in lovely with the animal world and how they're on this journey with us, and then what all happens afterwards. So I think it's a very well-structured book and will definitely help people along their spiritual journey and to help them better understand the animals around us.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tim. I appreciate the feedback.
Well, Mickey, where can people find out more about you and what's going on, where you'll be, all those wonderful things?
So everything is on the website that I don't do. My husband Clayton does.
Sounds like
I,
me.
Right? I was just ready to say that, Tim. So it's a Mickey. It's MikiJacobs.com. And everything's there, all the updates, all the interviews, of course, the link to social media that I actually post my own animals and kind of, you know, bits and pieces from the books. And some of the videos are fun with my beloved huge tortoise. So basically all the information is there.
Very good. MikiJacobs.com. And we'll post that on the site. Everybody pick up a copy of the book. It's Sacred Wild, The Spiritual World of Animals, Including Pets, and Its Interconnectedness with Ours. So Mickey, once again, fantastic job on the book. It was lovely talking to you. It reconfirms what I'm talking about. So we're on the same page. I love that. And I'll look forward to speaking with you again somewhere down the road.
That's fantastic. Thanks for having me again, Tim.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, we're coming to the end of the show today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. I want to thank the producers and sponsors for making this show possible. If you have any questions, comments, ideas, or people you want to hear on the show, drop us a line at PetLifeRadio.com. And while you're there, check out all the other wonderful hosts and shows. It's a cornucopia of animal fun. So until next time, write a great story about the animals in your life, and who knows, you may be the next guest on Animal Rights on Pet Life Radio. Have a great day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.